worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Verses 5 to 8, Acts chapter 8. Then continuing in Acts chapter 8, picking up at verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him, heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare this generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found in Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. In verses 26 to 40, Acts chapter 8. And then finally, then Acts chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Verses 1 through 10, Acts chapter 16. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful and the blessed privilege of being a part of your church, the body of Christ in the world. And Father, thank you, Lord, for the fact that you've saved us, made us brand new, and you've drawn us into your family, and you've called us to go forward to build your kingdom, to preach the gospel, and to make disciples. Father, anoint us all afresh with a spirit of grace that would cause us to have a burning passion to simply obey you, to simply fulfill the call of God upon our lives, and help us to know that we're called to be faithful ambassadors everywhere you've called us to go. Help us to have ears to hear and eyes to see what you want us to hear and see, not only in this broadcast, but as we walk with you, and help us to fulfill all the call of God upon our lives. Set your church on fire fresh with the spirit of evangelism and mission for your glory. More and more, show us your glory. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Mark Ose is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Lord God, I thank you again for allowing us to serve you in this way with this platform on the radio. And I thank you for the anointing that you have placed on Pastor Joseph and on the guests that we'll get to hear from today. God, I thank you that you use each of us as you choose. And I pray that we would always be willing to go and do as you call us. God, I pray that many would be blessed by hearing what we record today, whether in the broadcast or as a podcast later. I pray that your will would be done in these words that we share today. And I pray your Holy Spirit would be with us. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mark. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. I'd like to remind our listeners, we're continue to ask that you'd pray for our pregnancy ministry. The Pregnancy Care and Hope Center ministry have some unique challenges that we're dealing with. Believe in the Lord for a new sonographer, for one of the cities that we're serving. So if you'll pray for the ministry as a whole, pray for God to provide the right personnel needed, we would appreciate very much your prayers. Very blessed and honored to have once again as our phone guest today, Chad and Leslie Seagraves. They are the directors of a ministry called 1040 Connections. Chad and Leslie, how are you all today?
Good morning. Good to be here.
Great to be with you again today. We're doing well.
All right. Always good to have you. And I want to ask if you'll take a few moments to further introduce yourselves and then tell our listeners about the 1040 Connections, what it is and what its mission is as well.
Sure. So we are Chad and Leslie, and we've been married for 27 years.
Yay!
And then 25 years ago, we founded an organization, a mission organization called 1040 Connections. Where we work is the area of the world where they have the least access, opportunity, and freedom to hear the gospel of Jesus. So it's where the majority of the least reached people groups live, which is called the 1040 window.
1040 is latitude lines. The 10 degrees to 40 degrees north latitude runs across North Africa, Middle East, India, and China, has about half the world's population and about 90% of the world's unreached people groups, which means they have limited access, freedom, and opportunity to know Jesus.
And so one of the missions, or the main mission of 1040 Connections, is we want to catalyze disciple-making movements in order to proclaim the gospel to these areas of the world that still need to hear the name of Jesus and, of course, the story of Jesus.
So we've lived in many of those countries, Middle East, South Asia, East Asia, and Southeast Asia most recently. And currently we're based in Florida, and we have different national coordinators who run various projects and trainings and oversee networks in those places with 1040 Connections.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing. I'm going to ask Chad and Leslie, if y'all would do this for me, if you'll back up just a little bit in that. Okay, I want to ask you to define a few terms. Unreached people groups. Now, on the one hand, that may seem self-explanatory, but not necessarily. If you'll explain, what is an unreached people group?
Sure. An unreached people group is a technical mission term, a missiological term. It means it's less than 2% evangelical Christian or less than 5% adherents, meaning they could have maybe 5% Catholic or less than 2% evangelical. And so those people require outside help to evangelize themselves. Once you get to a sustainable amount, maybe 10% of the people are Christians, then the evangelism and the mission activities and the churches can sustain themselves within that people group. So a people group is a specific language or culture. We are we and they are them. And it'd be like the Kurdish people don't have a nation, but they're a Kurdish people. They have a language and a culture, and they reside in Syria and Iraq, but they have no country. Whereas India has thousands of people groups inside one geopolitical nation. So So India has the caste system, and the languages are multiple, and they have different states in north and south of India. So a nation can have multiple people groups, or a people group can span across many geopolitical nations. And within those, missiologists look and see which one of those have access to the gospel, freedom, and opportunity to know the gospel. And if they have freedom and access and opportunity, generally that's called the Christianized world. Mm-hmm. They can turn on the radio, they can turn on the TV, they can go to the Christian bookstore, they can worship in freedom, and they're not going to be persecuted for the faith necessarily. So that's the Christianized world. Another area of the world has maybe state religion. That would be like Russia or South America, and you're born into that nation, so that's what you are culturally, nominally. And then other areas like the 1040 window and other areas surrounding that area would have the restricted access areas.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I'll add one little thing. And why that matters to look at a country not just from the geopolitical one nation is because in Matthew 24, Jesus says in verse 14, he says that the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all ethnic groups. It says nations in English, but if you look at the Greek, it's the word that means ethnic groups. And then the end will come. So Jesus is showing us in that passage and in multiple other passages that he's concerned that all peoples, all tribes, all nations, all ethnic groups have a chance to hear the gospel. That's what he wants in the body of Christ.
Amen. Amen. All righty. You also use the term missiologist. Can you define what that is?
Sure.
That one.
Yeah. So a missiologist is someone who's looking at three main disciplines. So it's the Word of God, it's the church of people that have been saved and redeemed, and then it's culture. And so a missiologist is trying to figure out how do you combine the church with the word and then mixing the culture that it's around so that the church can be salt and light in the various contexts where the church finds itself.
Mm-hmm. So a missiologist is not necessarily a missionary then?
Exactly. So a missionary is someone who is more apostolic. They're going out to tell the good news. A missiologist would be someone who does more intense study, theology, and practice. And so that's what our degrees are in. Our doctorates are in is missiology. It's where you're thinking through very critically what is the situation with the people group, the religious thing, the strongholds, the footholds. You're looking at it a little bit more at a theological academic level so that you can figure out how you put strategies into that to meet the needs.
I'll give an illustration. So the three words we use to describe missiologists is word, world, and church.
Mm-hmm.
So word is theology, world is anthropology, and church is ecclesiology, or what? So three branches of disciplines there. So the word, world, and church. And one way this comes out practically is when you're sharing the gospel with a Muslim, one of the verses that I was always taught and I knew growing up was John 3:16, which is great. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Well, if you begin evangelizing with a Muslim and you start with John 3:16, immediately a wall goes up. Why do you think that is? It's because the very first sentence says, God has a son. And that, of course, is not what the Muslims believe. It's not what the Quran says. And so when sharing the gospel with a Muslim, you would missiologically choose a different route based on the strategy of what will reach their hearts. You don't start with John 3. That's obviously there in the Bible. We love it. But we don't start with that. And so that's just one practical outworking of what a missiologist would inform people who want to share the gospel with Muslims. How do we do this? Oh, start with another path.
Mm. And so seminaries, again, missiology is a part of seminary curriculums. Is that correct?
Yes. A lot of people that go to seminary, they will take a missiology class. Mm-hmm. But a missiologist is someone that they focus in on studying missiology for a longer period of time.
Okay. Well, we'll pick up there on the other side. Our phone guests today are Chad and Leslie Seagraves, the directors of the ministry 1040 Connections. We'll be right back.
From getting through, we do.
Peterson with Is He Worthy? Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guests today are Chad and Leslie Seagraves, the directors of the ministry 1040 Connections. And Chad and Leslie, as we begin this segment, would you pray for our listeners to have ears to hear all the Lord wants to say and share and minister to them through the broadcast today, each of you, please?
Sure. Jesus, we just want to say thank you for everyone who's listening now on this broadcast, that you would just help them to have ears to hear, Jesus, that they would be able to hear what it is that your Spirit is wanting them to understand. Jesus, we pray that they will not just hear it, God, but that they will then obey it, God, that you will help them to understand how to live out and act out what you are giving them to do. And Jesus, I just pray that believers, every believer will understand that we're supposed to hear the Word of God and then go and do something with it, Jesus.
Jesus, I agree, and just pray, just as you touched the deaf people's ears and said, "Ifta, open," and that their mouth and open, God, I pray that the ears and the mouths of the listeners tonight would be opened up, that they would hear and understand. Jesus, in Luke 24, you said that you opened their minds so that the disciples could understand the history of the church and the history of the Messiah, the prophecies. And God, we just pray that as listeners listen today, that you'll open their minds and hearts and that they will line up with your mission, with your heart for the nations. And we just pray your blessing on this time. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. I want to ask a question, Chad and Leslie. Say you have someone that's listening and they're thinking to themselves, well, I'm not a missionary. I'm not a missiologist. I'm just a bench member at my church. And they're wondering, how can I get involved with missions? How would you respond to that question?
Yeah, I think whenever someone is having that question, it shows that the Holy Spirit is working, because this is, we have been saved so we can tell other people the message of Jesus. And so I would say the first thing to do is to just yield yourself to God every day and tell God you want to be on mission with God. You want to notice people and you want to speak up for Jesus. And then the second thing you do is you start looking for opportunities. And you it's just like we read earlier in the Acts passage, it said that, you know, Philip, he noticed the Ethiopian, they communicated with one another, and then from the place of the Ethiopian where he was confused, it says Philip started at that verse in order to move the conversation towards Jesus and the fulfillment of who Jesus is. Mm-hmm. So I would just say yield yourself to God and then look for opportunities, because he wants to use each and every one of us.
Mm. Absolutely. I would also say one of the things that helped me in my way I look at people is that what is the first question I ask in myself when I see someone? Do I notice their shoes or their hair or their wealth or their beauty or their weight or their car? What do I notice about people? And one of the prayers I had is, Lord, help me to see people the way you do. And so instead of looking at the external part of people, I try to see people, how do they stand with Jesus? The first question I should ask when I look at anybody is, do they know Jesus? Or if they died now, where would they go? That kind of question. Mm-hmm. What's the eternal destiny of people? Because every interaction we have with every single person is a potential chance to talk about Jesus. And so that really, even we have lots of medical issues with our family. And so I'm on the phone a lot with insurance people, doctors and insurance people. Mm-hmm. And so I tried to make it practical and said, I've had literally hundreds of conversations with insurance people. And so I began asking them, is there any way I can pray for you to make this non-pleasant conversation more beneficial? Do you have any prayer requests I can lift up for you? And I've had multiple people give me prayer requests and be shockingly thankful. Mm-hmm. God can turn medical conversations with insurance into something beneficial.
You know, I appreciate you all sharing those bits of wisdom and understanding as it relates to ministry. You know, something that is so powerful and simple, I think, for us to be mindful of as believers is that the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of us is all about ministry all the time, everywhere he is. And if we're listening, he'll help us out. And it's beautiful to see that literally every place, every moment is a time and a place for ministry. So many, I think one of the needs within the body of Christ is more and more for we pastoral leaders and leaders, period, to help people understand the Great Commission is to every believer in all the world. We all have a part to play. We all have responsibility there as well. So would you all specifically pray for believers to grasp the fact that we all have a critically important part in the work of sharing the gospel in the world? Would you all pray for that?
Sure.
Yeah.
Jesus, I just pray that you would help every believer to know that they have a critical part in sharing Jesus, that there's a story that needs to be told, and we do not have to have these overwhelming stories of healing and coming out of massive problems. God, we need a story of just that Jesus loved us and Jesus died on the cross for us, and we recognize that. We gave our hearts over to Jesus to clean our sin, and he came back to life, and we want someone else to know the story. God, I pray that you would help us to realize our voice does matter and that we would not listen to the enemy who tells us that we have nothing to say and we don't know how to do it.
Yes. Jesus, we just pray your Holy Spirit would rise up in the listeners and show them that it's your power speaking through them that will be the witness that you want to be. Acts 1:8 says, you'll be my witnesses everywhere. And God, we are those people now, and I pray that Acts 1:8 will be true in the lives of listeners and our own lives. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Would you all go ahead and share now more, help our listeners better understand in greater understanding the mission behind the ministry 1040 Connections?
Sure. So we just recognize that the greatest injustice in the world is that there are so many people that have never heard the name of Jesus.
Guess the number. You're guessing a number. What would you say, Pastor Joseph, is the number of people who've never heard the name of Jesus out of the 8 billion? What do you think?
A bunch. That's hard to say. Tell us that. It's hard to even really say. I know it's a lot, but...
Yeah, it's 2.5 billion people.
They've never heard the name of Jesus. That's what you're saying.
Never heard the name of Jesus.
That's mind-boggling.
And so that's really the greatest injustice. And so what I think motivates our organization is we have to be obedient to Jesus and let his name be known. And so the way we do that is that we are constantly looking for ramps in the sense that what human need can we meet? Because of the where we work, you can't just go in and preach. What is a human need that we can meet, which helps us to point people to there's a God who exists whose name is Jesus, and he loves you and wants to know you. And so one example of one of those ramps that we've taken is we recognized that in the world, just like in 2023, that there were 69 million people who died from all natural causes. So that would be pneumonia and flu and car accidents and
natural causes
of any type.
War, everything.
But in that same year, 73 million babies were killed through abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And so
World Health Organization statistics.
So when we hear that, we recognize, okay, this is a ramp. This is a ramp where you have, with 73 million babies that have been killed, there's 73 million women who have been exploited. Mm-hmm. That's 73 million men who've been affected. And so what our organization does is we look for these ramps. And so as we continue to study, we saw that over 40% of all abortions are happening in Asia. And that's where we were working a lot. Mm-hmm. And so we developed a ministry of how do we meet that need and help people to understand the value of life, but do it in a way that points people to Jesus. And so I'll just tell you one quick story. Mm-hmm. So we now have this in about 11 different languages, a curriculum we have called Voice for the Voiceless. And it goes over women's reproduction, baby development, and abortion. And we weave stories through it. There's questions that the people who come, they interact, they laugh, they cry, we dance, we celebrate them being born as women. It's such a beautiful time. But during that time, they recognize that there's a God who values them as women. And in so many of these religions of the 1040 window, women are extremely objectified and oppressed. And so by helping them to take this information about life, they're able to also understand this information about Jesus. And we had, after one of our Voice for the Voiceless trainings, 14 Hindus came to Christ right afterwards.
Praise God.
We've had house churches start in South Asian nations among Muslims because of them understanding life. And so as we're talking to people on the radio right now, I just want to encourage people, open your mouth about life. Because what that does is it opens up a larger conversation that's going to enable you to be able to show that there is a God who desperately and intimately loves every person that he's created.
Mm, that's powerful. So, that's powerful. So, yes, go ahead, Chad.
So for 1040 Connections, one of the main functions we do is defending life. That's one of our, not just core values, but that's one of the main activities that our organization does. We defend life and multiply laborers and multiply leaders. That's what we do. So in defending life, this Voice for the Voiceless curriculum has gone out into multiple nations, and thousands of people have gone through the seminar, and they see that the women are valuable and the babies are valuable, and we should not kill the babies inside the mom. And so another quick story is we were in another South Asian nation, and there was mainly a Muslim audience, and the teacher was it. And the very first 5 minutes of the seminar, this lady jumped up and ran out of the room crying. And the teacher thought, "Why? What have I said? I've only said God loves you and has made you special. That's all he said." And when the lady heard that message, she jumped up and ran out the door, and so the teacher stopped the seminar, went outside and said, "Oh, sister, what is the problem? Why are you so sad?" And she said, it's too wonderful. It's too amazing. I cannot even believe this. I've never heard this before." Mm. She said, "I've always been abused and hurt in my family. And the first sentence you said was, 'God loves me and has designed me specially as a woman. It's too much for me to understand and believe.'" He said, "Oh, sister, that's just the beginning of the good news." Mm-hmm. So he prayed with her and said, "Please come back in when you're comfortable." So she came back in and had a wonderful seminar experience. But most people have never even heard that they themselves are valuable in that sense. Mm-hmm. And so 1040, that is an on-ramp to the gospel, obviously.
Mm-hmm. So getting the opportunity to do workshops is a tool to get into nations and into groups to be able to minister. Is that correct?
That's correct. So a lot of our church planters, they are equipped to teach this curriculum, Voice for the Voiceless. And so they will go into different areas and say, "We have a science seminar. Would you like us to give the science seminar?" Mm-hmm. And most people want to hear things. They, you know, they're interested.
The science doesn't change.
And the science, it's truly a science seminar. It you know, it goes through, you know, how XX makes a girl and an XY is a boy. And if an X and a Y join, that makes another boy. So it's truly science. Mm-hmm. But there's this one couple that decided to go do it, and they were going into a different South Asian nation. And it was an area that was staunch Hindus and staunch Maoists. Mm-hmm. And they went in to live among the people, and they were Asians themselves, and they said, "Can we use this curriculum?" And they moved into the area, and the people who were very against things outside of Maoism or Hinduism, they said, yeah, we'll take a science seminar. And they began to do science seminars and through Voice for the Voiceless. And they had people very intrigued in hearing more about the gospel. And just a practical thing that happened from that, they found out in this area that when a woman was in her monthly time each month, they were made to go out into the forest because they were considered unclean through the belief system of these people. And by going into the forest, then they're in danger of the animals and, you know, other things like that. And so they made an actual room in their house that was available to people, women during their time of the month so that they could be safe and not be in the village or in the wilderness. And so it was just a practical way of Voice for the Voiceless meeting a tangible need, but then Hindus were coming to Christ in their area because life is the platform that began the conversation.
Praise God. That's great that the Spirit of God gives you wisdom and ingenuity to get into places that otherwise you might not be given an open door. So thank you for sharing that. We're coming up on a break and we'll pick up on the other side. Our phone guests today are Chad and Leslie Seagraves, the directors of 1040 Connections, a missionary organization that's doing great work in the 1040 window. We'll be right back. Planet Shakers with Only Way, a reminder that Jesus Christ is the only way to eternal life and eternal salvation. Our phone guests today are Chad and Leslie Seagraves, the directors of 1040 Connections, a mission organization that's doing great work in ministering to and for the body of Christ in areas where many, many have never heard the gospel. And so we invite every listener, please pray much for Chad and Leslie and their family as they do the great work that they're doing through 1040 Connections. Chad and Leslie, if someone who's listening wants to learn more about 1040 Connections, they want to become a part of your prayer team, that they want to give financially to help you do the work and the mission God has called you to, tell them how they can do that.
Yeah, sure. The website to go to is 1040 connections, connections.org. So the 1040 connections website.org will tell you how to get involved with us, how to contact us by email, or if you want to join a prayer team. We have monthly prayer lists that go out and monthly ministry updates that go out. We're not going to overwhelm your inbox, but we have regular stories and regular prayer requests so you can hear what's happening on the field among different unreached people group movements. So church planters or Voice for the Voiceless or water wells or cataracts or whatever different ministries are happening among unreached people groups and world situations that you can pray into. We'd love to have people join the prayer team in that way.
All right. Thanks for sharing that. Chan Leslie, can you tell me, is it such that like because of the part of the world where you all are working in as you, in your travels, are you in places very often that really are sort of on the danger side? Is that pretty much a regular part of what you do?
Well, I would say that it's the believers there that have the most danger, and it is the area of the world where there's the most persecution in the world. Mm-hmm. That persecution comes sometimes from the governments, but it also at times comes from the family themselves. So, like, for example, in the Muslim world, they think that if they hurt their child or their relative who's come to Jesus and cause them to pull back to Islam, then Allah will have grace on them. So they feel like they're helping their person to threaten them physically. And so just to give, that's the persecution that comes from within the family. In the Hindu world, sometimes it's the government, but then it also can be more of a mob mentality, mm-hmm. just because there's so much. And so it can be that. So, yeah, I would say yes. And then for us personally, we've lived in that area of the world. We always become really good friends with believers, and we can become really good friends with people that understand what's happening in the country on the ground so that they can help us understand in case we need to know something that's going on. But we don't really think, like our kids were saying the other day, it's not really our mentality. It's like, are we in danger right now with what we're doing? It's more of you just, Jesus has a passion. He has a desire that the redeemed join him in that. You hold hands with Jesus. You recognize that the safest place to be is not always in the center of God's will, because mm-hmm. Jesus was and he died. But it's not what we've been...
Say that one again.
Yeah, Jesus was in the center of God's will and he died. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. we can't believe that just because we're doing God's will that we are not going to have ways that we suffer and ways that we, you know, struggle. What God does with every struggle and suffering that we have, every difficulty, is he again uses it as an on-ramp to point to Jesus, and that Jesus is what every human heart really wants. And so we just don't really think about the danger a whole bunch, but we could tell you stories of our people that we're working with that are Asians that have suffered greatly for their faith.
Mm. Yeah. That's something to really think about. So, well, specifically, would the two of you pray for the church to become much more mission-minded? And of course, you know, we know there's some churches that are very mission-minded. They send missionaries, they support missionaries, they pray for them. But then there's some that really it's not that much of a priority in terms of their time, their energy, their finances. And of course, God calls all of us to be mission-minded. Would you all pray for the church as a whole to become mission-minded in the way God is calling us to be?
Yes. Jesus, we just lift up before you your own words. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers in the harvest field from Matthew 9. God, we do pray that the entire church would be mobilized for your mission, that they would understand that your heart for the nations did not begin in Matthew 28, but your heart for the nations began in Genesis 1 when you blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule over it. God, you wanted the earth to be filled with people who followed you, overcoming and subduing the enemies and ruling over them in Jesus' name. God, that was your plan from the beginning, and that's what will happen in the end. And we just pray that pastors will understand this. They'll preach mission sermons and sermons about what missionaries are doing and sermons about what your Holy Spirit's doing among unreached people groups. God, open up their eyes and let them understand the Joshua Project website or the Perspectives course that can give them a mission understanding. And I pray that their, as awareness grows, that their hearts will grow and that their action will grow as well. In Jesus' name.
And Jesus, I just want to say the Bible shows us about how we are to be people who invite people to your table. And just in the book of Revelation in 22, you say that the Spirit and the bride, talking about the bride of Christ, say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. And Jesus, I pray for each person listening today that they will join the Spirit and say, come, and that they will be a part of the mission movement that God has established and strategically invites all of us to come to and to invite other people into. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. In the last portion of our broadcast today, what is there anything else on your minds, your heart, that you'd like to share with our listeners about the work and the mission of 1040 Connections?
Yeah, there is something just on my heart, and I just want to share it, that it'll be up on our website probably in a few weeks, but this past week I traveled to Chattanooga, Tennessee to record some videos to help the church in the United States and our international partners to know how to use their voices to talk about issues of life. And those will be up, released in probably 2 or 3 weeks on our 1040 Connections website. And I just want to encourage every listener to be prepared to know how to speak logically and scientifically about the value of life, philosophically about the value of life. It's not difficult, but it helps to be equipped a little bit. And so these videos, I think there's about 20 videos that are short videos that'll help you to take the slogans of our culture and to know how to bring truth back into the conversations. And so that's what I would just, it's just kind of burning on my heart that every one of us that knows Jesus to have a voice that's willing to meet people where they are and be able to defend life and then point to Jesus.
And if you want to pray about it, it's actually in the production phase right now. Leslie's done the recording aspect, and so now the production is happening. So you can pray for, the lady's name is Molly. If you want to pray for Molly as she does the production, we really appreciate that.
Okay. All righty. Share one more time your website, contact information for persons that want to learn more about you, get in touch, or support financially or otherwise. Share that with them again, please.
Sure. The website is 1040connections with an S. .org, and the phone number is 423-531-1040. That's 423-531-1040.
All righty. And your children are very much involved with the work and the mission of 1040 Connections as well, correct?
That's correct. That's correct. I have a great fun story if you want to hear it real quickly.
Okay.
So we were traveling to make these production of these videos last week. And our youngest, who's 11, went with me, and I was renting our car when I landed in Chattanooga. And while I was doing the paperwork, she looked at the guy that was working at Budget Car Rental and said, "Excuse me, sir, I have a question." And then she went ahead and asked him, she said, "Do you consider yourself a follower of Jesus Christ?" And he actually was a true believer in Jesus. And so he said, "I am." And she said, "Well, what I mean by that is when I was 7, I understood that I was lost and my sin separated me from God. Jesus died on the cross. I asked Jesus to come into my heart. And now I follow him. Have you done that?" And he said, "Yes, I have done that." And she said, "When did you do that?" And so they were having this conversation as I was filling out paperwork. And then he got back to me to do paperwork. And then she said, "Sir, I have one more question for you." And she said, and he said, "What's your question?" And she said, "Would you consider yourself a soldier on the battlefield of Jesus?"
We didn't teach her that question.
So the man, he looked at her and he said, "What a question." And he said, I do consider a soldier on the battlefield of Jesus. And I think what I've just been stirring on that for so much time is that's the way we have to see ourselves. Every person who's listening, we have to see that we are the soldier with Jesus on his battlefield, and then just boldly open up our mouths. And Jesus is going to use every one of us who is willing to just simply see ourselves as a soldier and then open our mouths with courage to share the story of Jesus.
You know, I imagine he's going to be thinking about that conversation for a long time. but praise the Lord, you know, because the reality is, again, the Holy Spirit is about ministry all the time, everywhere. And sometimes people talk about the weather, they talk about sports. But the fact is, our goal should be to help take as many people with us to heaven as we possibly can. So our time is just about completely gone. One more time, if someone wants to connect or learn more about 1040 Connections, tell them one more time how they can do that.
Sure. The website is 1040, that's 1040 Connections, connections.org. And the phone number is 423-531-1040.
All right. And share two things you'd ask listeners to pray for you and the ministry about.
Sure. Right now, we are in the process of having a new video translated and produced for the nation of Bangladesh. Mm-hmm. And so we just asked for the translation teams and the media production teams, and this will be put into a language that will have the potential of reaching
135 million
people speak that language. And we're trying to make it happen pretty quickly. So it's just that would be one main prayer request.
And we're actually doing this call from a school. We were at a chapel this morning recruiting students to come with us into Asia. Mm-hmm. So the students are going home today, and they're considering talking with their parents to join us on a team in the near future. So that's
so pray for that right 12 people to apply and to be accepted.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hope every listener will please take in consideration, pray for those matters they specifically mentioned, Chad and Leslie. And again, we're just asking you pray continually for the work of the 1040 Connections Ministry as well. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer right now and commit your heart and your life to the Lord? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all the wrongs I've ever done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you every day. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to obey and follow you daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we're wanting to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that'll help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Please get in touch. Again, that email once again, joseph@afr.net. And again, please pray much for Chad and Leslie and their family, the Seagraves, as they continue to lead the ministry, 1040 Connections, doing the great work that they're called to do. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.